Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Desperate House Witches. I'm Doreen Wallace, joined it off, as always by my lovely sister Raina Starr. How you doing, Mama?
Who? Okay. Welcome to Friday. Boy, am I happy it's finally here. I have been more annoyed than usual. I know that's a difficult concept for some of you, but trust me, it's true. Okay, so before we get this show on the road, a little bit of business. Got to say hello to Sam. Hi, Sam. Sammy knows who Sammy is because Sammy sent us a message. So hi. All right, so if you're new to the show, welcome. Desperate House Witches is not a G, PG, or an R-rated show. So if dirty talk, bodily functions, anything else I might think of might offend you, you may not want to hang out for this. But if you're brave, come on. Love it. Okay, so now that I've gotten my disclaimer out of the way, time to thank the sponsors. Tonight I'm going to start with the incomparable Dorothy Morrison, Wicked Witch Studios. Check it out. Fabulous goods for your witching needs. Also, our other sponsor, The Angry Cauldron at theangrycauldron.com. For those of you who have been listening recently, I have talked about the World Magic Candles that they have going on. There was a pre-sale of the Brigid or Brige World Candle and the Green Man Candle. Guess what? The candles have started shipping, y'all. Yay!
Woo!
Go get you some. Go place your order. They are limited edition candles, and I can't wait to get mine because, as it happens, the gods are good, and I need these candles for a very specific purpose right about now. So I got my notification that they are shipping. So I'm very, very excited.
Yay!
So angrycauldron.com, they have other things aside from candles. They have spells. They do consultations. There's all kinds of things going on. Check it out. All right. So first order of business. Well, this would actually be the fucking third order of business. I want to talk briefly because I know I want to talk about this with our guest tonight. Oh, well, let me just say, tonight's guest, the incomparable Star Bustamante. We are going to talk about a whole bunch of different shit, not the least of which is the Mystic South Conference that will be taking place in Atlanta on July 21st and 22nd, and I think part of the 23rd. But we will confirm that when she comes on, which will be in the next 20 to 25, y'all. So it's been an interesting week, I have to say. Friday ended up really fucking aggravating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how many of you guys have to deal with an IT department. Let me just say, I'm one of these hard-ass working bitches, and I need certain things to make life go smoothly, and it sucks when you face resistance from your IT department. So we will be working on that. I won't go into too much detail. Those of you who have IT departments know what I mean. Okay. So the other thing I wanted to say was congratulations, Democrats. and other non-Republican types. The bill to repeal Obamacare has now fallen away for the moment. I do not trust these fuckers. I think Paul Ryan is psycho. How they've been able to sell people on the idea that choice is, well, you know, we have to give people choices. No, asshole. You have to give people health care, okay? It doesn't matter how many choices you give someone if they can't afford any of them.
Thank you.
Sorry. I mean, have you seen some of these proposed programs? Let's cut Medicaid. No. Let's rework it so that, you know, we'll try to keep kids on their parents' program until the age of 26. You know, I still have a pre-26-year-old who needs that insurance. Thank you, number one. Number two, having been ill at a very young age, I need pre-existing coverage, okay? Because depending on who you talk to, no matter when you got whatever illness it was, it will always be considered a pre-existing condition, even if the illness has not come back for over 25 years. So be careful what you're asking for. So
yeah.
I don't trust that this is dead and buried yet, at all. So I have cautious optimism for the moment. And, you know, the funny thing is that the president came out, calling him that just gives me the shivers. the president came out and said yesterday that if they didn't vote today, that he was going to leave Obamacare alone. I'm like, God, leave it, you bastards. I kind of think that was Trump's plan all along, but I can't prove that. Because I think he knows.
Just leave it?
Yeah, just leave it. Because he said, because he kept saying, oh, there's so many things that are good about it. And then, you know, he talks out of both sides of his mouth. One minute he's saying, oh, there are some really good things about it. And then he'll turn around and say, oh, it's a mess. It's a disaster. You know, this is the man who climbed into a tractor trailer yesterday and hit the horn like he was some kind of engineer. He looked like a fucking big child playing in somebody's car. But anyway, so like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic at the moment about what healthcare is going to do, because he threatened to just leave Obamacare. I'm like, yeah, threaten us some more. Listen, no one ever said Obamacare was perfect. The only really good option is single payer. You want it, I want it. You know, people
single payer,
who understand universal healthcare, single payer.
Yeah,
you know, that's it. That you know, they're the same thing. So you know, that's our goal. Repealing Obamacare is all they want to do is go back to the old way so they can get their kickbacks from the insurance companies. We know that. You know, competition for, you know, they tried to tout this. Well, you know, it'll be legal to cross state lines to get insurance and get medication. Dude, that's already legal. You are selling people a bill of goods, okay?
Yeah.
That stuff's already legal. My health care, you know, my insurance, I don't know what state they're in, but they're not in North Carolina. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you can provide a valid prescription, you can get your pills in some instances, not emailed, but mailed to you. They're not all coming from your state. So the fact that people bought into this is really hilarious and scary. You've got to do some research. You got to look things up. You know, there are ways to find out what's true and what's not true. But anyway, so while the bill got pulled yesterday and then got pulled today because it was too embarrassing to lose this major vote, I don't care what the methodology is, as long as they continue to lose the vote.
Exactly.
You know,
what cracked me up was because I was listening to NPR on the way home, or I don't know if it was to or from school. I think it was from. But Paul Ryan getting up there and, you know, like kind of chastising people for not getting on board, and we need to, you know, work together. It's like, yeah, where the fuck was that notion when Obama was in office? You didn't want to work with him.
He wasn't talking to Democrats. He was talking to the Republicans that were opposing the bill because a hefty number, let me tell you what, they have the majority. And, you know, the majority now in the House is Republican, but the Republicans, a lot of them were against it. That's the only reason it lost.
Yeah.
We need more upstanding Republicans in the House and Senate to say, I'm not playing ball with this. You know, a lot of them are in fear of losing their seats. I don't really care what your motivation is at that point. You know, be afraid of losing your job. A little healthy dose of fear is good for you folks. You know, worry about your constituents a little more, and about your fat paychecks a little less, and the health care that you'll have forever. Before, you know, you have it while you're serving, and you continue to have it after you retire. That's a lovely deal. I wish we all had that deal, which is why we all need single payer. See, Congress has single payer. They are covered, period.
Yeah.
They're covered forever.
I think, honestly, they need to, you know, receive the same kind of health care that everybody else does. Sorry,
even if
but
they did,
no.
Yeah, but even if they did, they can afford it.
Yeah.
They can afford it. Again, giving people choices and options is meaningless if you can't afford any of them.
True.
You know? So it's insane. It's insane. And they keep touting this, oh, choices, choices. It's meaningless. It's meaningless. Is Obamacare perfect? No. Again, it is not. But I've got
better than what we had.
It's better than what we had before in some regards. You know, in most regards, from what I've been told. I mean, I've had friends who have been able to have surgeries because of it. I've had friends who have been able to keep their children on their health care plans because of it. I'm one of them. Pre-existing conditions being covered, that wasn't done before, you know, unless you had some really hefty major medical coverage, and that shit's expensive.
Right.
You know, and the idea that competition drives down prices, I said this online a couple of weeks ago, really? Since when does competition drive down prices? When was the last time you paid less for your cable bill? Not happening.
Yeah, right.
They make deals on this thing. They establish an acceptable baseline, and then they charge whatever the hell they want to charge above the baseline. You know, there's a standard level by which they don't drop down. You know?
Yeah. You know,
which is very common in everything.
That actually brings up a good point. You know, because like with cable, the cable bill, it never fucking goes down. Never. Never. And if you've been a customer for, you know, it doesn't matter how many years, they're not going to give you like a good deal like they would new people coming in. But, I mean, as you know, and I think I've mentioned on the show, we cut our cable. Oh God, it's coming up on seven years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, something like that. It was to the point where, you know, we were still starting out newly married, and it just became too big of a bill. So it's like, okay, it's got to go, you know, and we tried to manage through with Netflix for a while. Hulu, I don't think even existed at that point, or it was brand new, you know, but as the years have gone by, it's like, okay, yeah, I missed that for a little while. I found something better. And more people have come into the pool, like Sling TV, trying to think some of the other ones. Right now, we used to have Sling, but PlayStation View offered more. I know there's like Apple TV. I don't know if that still exists. And then, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I digress. But maybe if we had that kind of a system, like if somebody figured out something different, maybe we could compete and get them to lower their prices or offer more for what you're paying. I don't know. You know,
that would be great, but they're not willing to do it because healthcare, instead of the goal being to take care of people, the goal is to make money. When you take the incredible profits out of medications, out of healthcare, then people have a chance to get well. But if you're just sitting around as a bunch of rich pill pushers, I mean, you're considerably younger than me. I remember a time where there was no such thing as a medication commercial on TV.
Oh, I remember that too. I remember.
It's a long time ago. But I'll tell you what, now every other commercial, take this pill, take that pill. It's insane.
Take this pill to fix what that pill does to you.
Basically,
fuck
yeah.
That shit.
That's actually very true. And the thing is that curing things, there's a certain amount of money to be made from curing things, but they make more money if they keep you just sick enough to keep giving you medication.
Exactly.
So I'm highly suspicious of the methodologies and the thought process behind, you know, the medical profession in and of itself these days. You know, it would be great. I believe that the potential to cure most known diseases is there.
Yeah.
But I don't believe they necessarily want to do it because it would completely cut profits. You keep people doped up and you keep people needing something and you keep people drugged and lazy and fill in the blank. And I'm not saying that there aren't people who actually need their medication. They do. But not all these different pills. You got the shaky leg syndrome. You got acne. You know, there's like a pill for everything. We used to laugh because we used to say there's an app for that. Well, now there's a pill for that too.
It's
crazy. So as long as there's money to be made in keeping people sick, people will stay sick because no one wants to lose money.
Exactly. You know, and some of the names themselves crack me up. Abilify. It's like, really? That's like naming your cat Kitty or Cat. You know, it's so... just, oh, God, they annoy the hell out of me. And it's disgusting sometimes. You know, I don't want to see, and I am personally at risk because I had chickenpox twice. You know, I'm at risk for shingles, but I don't want to see that while I'm feeding my children dinner. You know, it's just become like an invasive species. You know, give us money, give us money, give us money, give us money, give us money. You know, it's ridiculous. And the fact that we have a pill that can cure a non-boner, but we don't have the cure for cancer while children are dying from that, tells me all the fuck I need to know about the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah.
Fuck them all.
But, you know, if somebody posted a really great picture, you know, if you know, you're supposed to have a baby, and I'm paraphrasing, if it's God's will for you to get pregnant, then it's God's will for you to have a limp dick.
Yeah, there you go. No, actually, it was introduced as, you know, and people are passing it off as a parody, but I believe this chick is dead-ass serious that, you know, you get punished if you masturbate. You know, because that's spilling your seed and that's, you know, preventing a pregnancy. So fine, let's play by their game.
Well, then every period is an abortion and we're all going to hell. I mean,
exactly. It's the logic. You know? First of all, there should be no fucking laws on the book that, you know, like reflect a certain religion's prejudices at all. You know, I don't know. It doesn't matter what religion it is.
Well, once again, we are victimized by the 1980s, where the Christian right started to really, really rise, and everything became about co-opting Jesus for their side. And you know what? People bought into it. They're masters at manipulation, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure several churches were involved in some kind of, you know, well, we'll support the church if you support our candidate, even though there's supposed to be a separation between church and state.
Thank you.
Not in the last almost 40 years now. Hate to tell you, it's not good. You know, I mean, we have anti-Semites now running. This is what happens. This is a natural evolution of letting religion into politics. We are at the point that should have been expected considering what happened in the early 80s. This is not a surprise. You know, we are more puritanical. Here's what's great. I was watching an episode of one of my favorite shows. You're all going to laugh. I am a huge fan of Fraggle Rock.
I love it!
Okay.
That's where I got Boober's name.
That's cute. So we were watching Fraggle Rock, and the one they have on demand, because, yes, I know it's expensive, but I do have cable. We were watching the Fraggle Rock where they were talking about greeting the moon. It's a great episode. Great music.
Oh.
It's such a sweet story. And they have a wizard come out, you know, official monthly moon greeter. And it's a ceremony and a celebration. It's beautiful. But that was in 1983. Okay, that's when that episode first aired, was 1983. You couldn't get that on TV. Now we've become more puritanical. We've become more afraid of other people. Not the other way around. We haven't evolved.
No,
at all.
We have devolved.
We have not evolved at all. We are worse off than we have been in probably the last 50 years. And I know that seems like a really long time to some folks, but honestly, when you consider the age of our country, it's really young. It's, you know, in hundreds of years from now, it's going to look like, oh, they were so confused for the first 500 years, but then they got their shit together. You know, I won't be here for it. You won't be here for it. Our grandkids won't even be here for that. But at some point, you have to figure it out and right the ship, unless we all get wiped out, period.
Which we may be heading toward that.
Well, I don't know. You can't just go around pissing off, you know, North Korea and China and, you know, all these other countries that have the power to do some serious hurt. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We live in very precarious times with a very precarious government, with other governments that are equally precarious, if not more so. Even in spite of how bad Trump may seem to some, there are still other countries where it's worse, but it's escalating. It's not calming down. And when Europe is pulling in now more conservative people as their leaders. That's worrisome to me.
Yeah.
You know,
what the hell is going on?
I know. When I'm looking at Germany, like they're the normal ones. When, you know, not so long ago in history, folks, everybody was afraid of the Germans, you know. And now Angela Merkel looks like the most sane person in the room. And, I mean, to her credit, she kind of is to a large extent. But it's getting, I mean, you know, when Dragon Ritual Drummers were on, they were saying that they're in fear of having a conservative, you know, being elected again. It's happening everywhere. It's a domino effect. And crazy just doesn't stop. Crazy just gets more crazy over time. I don't know. It's interesting. You know, you just got to keep your eyes on stuff and get real journalists and read real journalism. You know, don't, please check your facts. Look past the fake news. Because there's a lot of clickbait out there, a ton of it, and a lot a lot of it is on both sides as far as the clickbait shit. You know, there's certain reports and there's certain this and there's certain that. You know, and I've seen an uprising of, you know, places that are you know, supposedly Democratic or not pro-Trump, and even half of those you can't read because it's clickbait. You've got to follow real journalism. People like Andrea Mitchell. I'm calling you out, Andrea. You know, there are real journalists out there still alive trying to get to the truth of a story. And can I just say, I love Rachel Maddow, but girl, you fucking disappointed me with that bullshit tax return. I just got to say it again. You have
that
not recovered for me.
Geraldo move. I'm sorry.
Kinda,
That's all I know.
Yeah, kind of.
I watched.
Yeah. Tell
I
people
was so
what
excited.
You mean by the Geraldo move. Tell people what you mean by the Geraldo move.
Okay. Yeah. That for all you kiddies, we love you. Okay. Way back in something called the 80s. Early 90s, there was a man called Geraldo Rivera. If you have ever watched Fox News, you may know who he is. A couple things he's known for best was he was a talk show host. He got hit in the face with a chair by a Nazi, and he is Jewish.
I remember it.
Yes. Oh my God, I was watching that. I was so scared. But it was like, you know, because back then, I was Team Geraldo. He was awesome. He was calling people out on their bullshit. This is what Geraldo used to do. And then he decided, I don't know where he got the information from. I was kind of half watching, half not. But supposedly he had found and pronounced to the world that he had found Al Capone. And I'm not going to explain Al Capone to you. Just Google it.
He was a gangster. There you go.
Yes. In like, what, the 30s, 40s, something like that. Anyway. So, yeah, he had found his vault. And he decided that he was going to open it on live national TV. Now, this was back when they would promote things for like weeks and possibly months, and building this up, and you know, I don't know what the fuck they thought they were going to find in that, but they opened it up on live television and there was not a fucking thing in there. It was empty.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious. We thought he's got money buried. He's got jewels buried. He's got bones of his enemies buried. There was any manner of possibility. The fucking thing was empty. It was hilarious and the most embarrassing thing up to that point that I had ever witnessed on TV. And after that, Geraldo obviously lost a lot of his credibility. And when he went to Fox, he lost even more. So, okay. So that is what we mean by the Geraldo moment for Rachel Maddow. You know, she had two pages of a document where he actually did pay taxes.
Yeah.
And
more than the previous president, no less.
Well, he made more.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But, you know, still, the fact is that my belief is that Trump or his team or both released that on purpose and made look like she had gotten some kind of scoop. And it's just been an ongoing joke for the last couple of weeks or the last week and a half, however long it's been. And, you know, there's a reckoning that comes. You have to read the information. You have to vet the information. You have to vet your sources. It's good to investigate. And here's a situation where the person reporting, you know, thought they had a scoop. They didn't have shit because Trump tweeted about it right before airtime. And that's going to happen. But it was such a dog of a broadcast. It was like you build it up for the whole, you know, first half of your show. Obviously, you already know that it's been tweeted about by the White House at that point, and you're still hyping it up. Nah, you got to know when to cut your losses and let it go. And she didn't.
Yeah.
It was not good. It was.
I, you know, honestly, I don't even feel bad for her, because she should have waited instead of, oh my God, I got this information, I got to break it now, without, you know, really delving into it, you know, because it just felt like clickbait. It seriously felt like clickbait TV. It was like, oh, I've got this exclusive. It's like, bitch, no, you don't. You know, I was so mad because, like, we watched. I was like, okay, finally, we're going to get somewhere. Awesome. She found something. And, like, you know, about 15, 20 minutes into it, when she's still hyping this and explaining history, it's like, no, just show it move. What are you doing? You know, and then I finally got fed up. We changed the channel, and I was like, we'll find out soon enough. And then when it was nothing, it was like, seriously? Now nobody's going to take you seriously.
Well,
and that's the disappointing part to me.
It does destroy some of your credibility.
Yeah.
The thing that cracks me up is that I know for a fact, and it won't be next year, and it may not be the year after, but somewhere down the road in the next 10 years or 20 years, we're going to be explaining to our grandchildren, and some of you will be explaining this to your children, and they're going to say, so you, as a country, voted in a guy who had no experience. And we're all going to say, yep. And somebody's going to say, and the guy committed obviously impeachable offenses. And we're going to say, yeah, he did, yep. And somebody's going to say, so why didn't anybody do anything? And we're all going to say, well, you know, we don't know. We were waiting to see what was going to happen, and it was, you know, an interesting time. And somebody's going to say, well, why didn't you people do anything? And we're going to all look around at each other like, yeah, I don't know what we should have done, but nah, they let this guy sit there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have the feeling we're going to have to answer for this sometime in the future, and I don't know what the fuck I'm going to say. So, anyway.
I don't know.
We probably got a guest waiting in the queue, don't we?
We do, Ms. Right. Star is in the queue. So let us bring her on.
Bring her on.
Hello.
Hey. How are you?
Hi. Right
tonight?
Good. Hello, how are you?
You sound a little wound up. Y'all are a little wound up.
I'm always wound up. Are you kidding?
It's Friday. Woohoo!
I live wound. How are you doing, Miss Star?
Well, I'm not in prison. I have a pulse, and I have a Guinness at hand, so I'm doing
life
pretty
good.
Life is good.
All right.
Perfect. That's awesome.
So, Star, we were talking a little bit earlier, briefly, about Mystic South. Would you like to talk about Mystic South?
I would love to tell you about Mystic South.
Please do.
It is going to be amazing. So the first thing you probably need to know is when it is. And it is officially from July 21st through the 23rd. However, on the 20th, we'll be having that evening for our guests that will be coming in that evening for the conference. We'll be doing some type of meet and greet somewhere in the hotel. We haven't quite worked out all the details on that. And then the conference officially starts on the 21st on that morning, which is a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some pretty amazing VIPs lined up. We have the lovely and wonderful Dorothy Morrison. We have Byron Ballard, who is Asheville's own village witch.
Yes,
and
she's on
next week.
Yes, I'm excited.
And then we have Orion Foxwood.
Yay, woo-hoo! Orion! I love this. He's so cute.
Cephalon.
Yes. Oh my God, he's adorable.
He is adorable. And then we also have Katrina Messenger, who's from the D.C. area. Yes, and she she is amazing. If anybody who's not had an opportunity to hear her speak should definitely, they want to come and hear her because she is just pretty fabulous. And those are just our headliners. We have had so many submissions for workshops. I can't even tell you. I mean, I think we had just for regular workshops, I think we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 submissions.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have an academic portion called Papers, which is like the same kind of symposium you would have, you know, the university sponsor. And it was all of the papers that were submitted were vetted the same way. And we had, we've got 10 presentations that will be happening in that forum. So we're really excited. We've got some great top-notch people. We were really overwhelmed by the number of submissions that we have had. And there's going to be a little bit of everything. Our, I guess, what do you want to call it? How we're promoting it is theory, practice, and play.
Love it.
And so not only will we have practitioners doing workshops, we will have academics presenting papers, we will have music, because our other headliner is Tawatha Dea. And rock the house.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
We have seen them live at one of our Pagan Pride festivals, and just they are absolutely phenomenal. Love those guys and ladies.
They are. They rock it. So they'll be doing workshops as well as performing. And we have some other things going on that I don't know if I can talk about those yet or not.
I'm gonna
do some shameless self-promotion. I am going to be there on behalf of Desperate House Witches and doing a live show Friday night. Yep.
That is right, which is going to be amazing because we're going to get anybody that you want to talk to, we will bring them in and you can interview them and maybe get them to tell all of their secrets or at least some of their secrets.
She's
I'll
good.
Do my best.
She's good at squeezing people.
Yes. So, what else do you want to talk about, Madam Star?
Well, you guys were on quite the roll about the healthcare stuff.
And, yeah, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think I agree with, you know, I mean, Obamacare is not perfect. Let's just be really clear on that. But
oh, yeah.
What the Republicans were talking about doing was just, you know, pretty hideous and pretty awful. Would have affected, I mean, if you look at what the Congressional Budget Office was projecting, was that, you know, 24 million people would lose their health care.
Yeah.
That's just in no way, shape, or form is that. I don't see how that's productive unless you're just trying to massively kill off, you know, if you're willing to, you know, to try and balance the budget at any cost, and the cost of that is human lives, then perfect, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Millions of people, yeah. And, you know, by basically passively killing them. I'm really glad
it's not
that it
even,
didn't pass.
Yeah, it's not even passively killing them, though. It's intentionally killing them. When you give people no option that's viable, when you tell people your choice, you can't afford any of the choices we're giving you, you've effectively told people that, well, if you're not rich enough and you're not one of us, or even close to being one of us, then your life has less value. And I sincerely, as a person, just object to this notion. And the fact that healthcare is now and has become over the years for profit as opposed to being a humanitarian effort to help people, I find it very objectionable on its face.
Well, you can make money in healthcare without it being detrimental to people. I mean, the thing that I think most people don't understand when we talk about a single payer health care plan, you know, if you look at the amount of tax that other, like most of the countries in Western Europe, I mean, they do pay significantly higher taxes than what we pay. However,
yes,
we pay some of the lowest taxes, you know, in the entire world. If you have to, I mean, I would be happy to pay more money in taxes to know that I would be covered. And, you know, if you look at the rates that people are paying taxes, taxes for the top 10% have gone down dramatically since the New Deal. I mean, right after the New Deal, you know, anybody that was, you know, we have more millionaires now than we had, than we've ever had. It's
sure,
extraordinary,
right?
Really. And they're paying less tax than ever before, which is mind-boggling to me that you can have someone like Trump say the things that he says and people believe him, which, you know, gets into the whole just how journalism has, you know, been swirling the drain and the rise of television stations like Fox News. And then, of course, the Internet has produced, you know, sites like Breitbart and some of the other really hideous right-wing sites. People are conditioned to believe this. They don't even – it's like they've lost the ability for any kind of critical thinking. So it's really fascinating to me. I mean, from a cultural anthropology standpoint, you just look at this and go, wow. After the New Deal, anyone like in Trump's class of wealth would have been paying close to 90% tax on their what they owned and the income that they were making. Yeah. Yeah. Look it up. I mean, you can see it has gone down and down and down, over the years, which, I mean, I think 90% is way too high. But, you know, you look at what they're paying, and a lot of them have funneled their money in ways so that they don't, they're paying hardly any tax. And
agreed.
People, right, and people like you and I are paying, you know, a third of what we're making in some cases. I mean, if you make between the worst tax bracket to be in is if you make over, say, $200,000, if you're in that $200,000 to under $1 million category, those are the people that are basically paying the highest rate of taxes of anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, because when you make under the standard, you know, you're subject to certain tax breaks, you know, head of household, other things of that nature, where you actually get a break because you can't afford to pay taxes because you're not making enough to even register to that level in the economy. So, you know, they try to give, my understanding is that head of household is still in existence, which is good for very poor people. When you're in the middle, like anything between $35,000 and $150,000 is even a different tax bracket in the regard of those are the people paying the most.
Yeah,
believe it or not.
It's terrible.
Everything
well, you know
is
what,
on the backs of the middle, the true middle class.
Yeah, pretty
you know,
much. Well, George Carlin said, you know, the reason we have poor people is to terrify the middle class and to keep them working. I think that is largely true. But if you look at the demographics of how things have shifted in just the last 20 years, what you have is you have more people that are, you know, really would be classified as working poor. You know, they make, you know, $30,000 or less a year, and they're supporting an entire family on those wages, you know, when everybody works. It's insane.
Yeah, it is. And it's wholly unfair. You know, it's not, I mean, I understand the redistribution of wealth is frowned upon, but there's got to be some kind of, if you're, especially people who tout themselves as Christian. Now, the basic tenets, to my understanding, are to care about the poor, care about those less fortunate, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, it goes on and on. And it strikes me that these are the folks who are the least willing to share the bounty of goodness that has befallen them. I'm not saying it's not through hard work, but I work hard too. You know, I'm not rich. I'm comfortable enough, but I'm not rich. And I don't mind paying my fair share, you know, and I don't mind that some of my money might go to help somebody else, because that's what you do as a human being, you know, or maybe that's what you do as a witch, because you do give a shit about others around you. I don't know, maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Well, I think that, first of all, you have a bunch of people that have been drinking the Ayn Rand water.
No shit.
Paul Ryan, you know, amongst them, in which I think the prevalent theory there is, I got mine, you know, you're on your own, basically. There's a real phobia in this country where anything that it could be labeled as, you know, socialism is concerned. And, you know, because for years, you know, I was born in the 60s, and still the threat of communism, you know, had everyone hiding under, you know, they were looking under beds for communists all through the 50s. And into the 60s and even beyond. So it's fascinating to me that people are so quick to call, first of all, they don't understand the difference between socialism and communism. But also, I mean, we have a lot. I mean, almost all of the services that any city offers, I mean, we all pay into that pool so that we have a fire department, so that we have a police department, you know, so that we have some form of government that steps in to mitigate when there are issues, whether it's a property dispute or whether it's dealing with crime or what have you. But we are, but it, I mean, so basically, essentially, that's a form of socialism, you know, from the standpoint of especially, you know, the Ayn Rand water drinkers. They don't like it. They think everybody, you know, you, if you don't pay your taxes, then you shouldn't be entitled to those services. But
I agree.
You know, well, but the thing is like, okay, so let's say my neighbor didn't pay their taxes and their house catches on fire. And where I live, fire is a serious thing, you know. So,
yes, it is.
You know, I want somebody to come and put their fire out because I don't want my house to catch on fire. I mean,
exactly.
You know,
right.
There has to be a certain level of social consciousness and awareness that sometimes even if it's not, you know, whether you like somebody or like what they do or don't like what they do. You have to kind of take care of them so that for the safety of the herd, as it were. But you can't,
right.
I don't know. Oh, some people you can have a reasonable conversation about this, but mm-hmm. there are a great many people that you just can't have that conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, you cannot argue or even discuss with crazy or stupid. Or brainwashed.
Although I do keep trying though, because the notion of, okay, you're a Christian, okay, you're a good Christian, okay, I've heard all this, who are you trying to convince, me or yourself?
Amen.
Because, you know, living where I live, I have a very large mix of people, as you do, and the fact is that a lot of these folks are talking out of both sides of their mouth. And I think hypocrisy is just one of the many things that pisses me off. So
well,
I get really agitated when people tell me about Jesus, but when I want to tell them about, you know, helping people who are less fortunate, suddenly that's, oh, no, 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 no. You're talking about something completely different. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm talking about what you're talking about, allegedly. So I find that very annoying.
Yeah, well, and it is annoying. You know the easiest way to get rid of a Jehovah's Witness?
What?
Huh?
If they come and knock on your door, all you have to do is say, sure, I would love to hear about what you want to tell me, but first you got to listen to what I believe.
Oh.
You know, I have
they can't
to
listen
admit,
to that. They'll go away.
yeah,
I have to admit,
too.
We have within our vicinity. You know, I'm down in Charlotte, and there's like two Kingdom Halls, I believe. I know there's one like not too far from us, and I recognize the people. See, I used to do that, and the first time with this group of people, they were like, oh, what's a pagan? You know, and I explained it to them, and they were all like, oh, okay, yeah. And they were polite, but they slowly backed away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I have a sign up that says no, and it has a list of, you know, no proselytizers or proselytizers, I can't pronounce the word. No salesmen, you know, unless you're selling Girl Scout cookies, do not knock on this door unless you are prepared to pay a $20 per minute visitation.
and we
don't take checks. I do take credit cards and I take cash. Be prepared with the money before you knock on my door or ring my bell. And I'm like, I ain't playing with them anymore.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about Jehovah's Witnesses is that they really are heavily invested in their own communities and they do probably follow their doctrine more so than many of the Protestant
individuals
of the Protestant. Yeah. But they also do shunning, so you know. As they say, no religion is perfect.
Exactly. Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, sis. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when I was working at a veterinary hospital down on the other side of North Carolina, actually closer to Ustar, I worked with a girl who was Jehovah's Witness. And I mean, she was quirky, but she was probably one of the most interesting people I had ever met. And she accepted me for who I was, and I accepted her for who she was. And, you know, we'd go out to lunch all the time. So I'm not opposed to starting friendships or conversations if there's an openness. It's just the closed-minded mentality is our way is the right way. You know, I just, that turns me off. It's like, but I digress.
I don't know. Jehovah's Witnesses, or is that Seventh-day Adventist who only have a certain number of seats on the bus to heaven? Is that Jehovah's Witnesses?
Oh, no, that's Jehovah's Witnesses.
Okay,
yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
If I thought there was a limited number of seats to get to the promised land, I wouldn't be telling every fucking body. That's just me.
I asked her that, too, because I had known that. I was like, so why do you guys still try to recruit people when you know there's only so many spaces in heaven? And I thought actually the answer was probably one of the kindest things I've ever heard from a super religious person. It was, just in case it's not me, it may be you. So I want to preach that to you so you can have your spot that you've already earned. I was like, I was about ready to cry. I was like, that's so sweet. You know?
Yeah,
like,
but if
even
you've
if it's
yeah,
not
but
me.
Here's, but what's the thing? But here's the thing. If it already might be you, then anything they say really doesn't matter. If you've already been picked,
that's true.
Then you're picked. I'm losing the thread on that one from them. I mean, true. All religions, all paths have their things that are kind of like, well, you kind of have to go on some blind faith with this. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I trust my gods. You can keep your thing. I'm just going to continue on with what I believe. Thank you. Very
and
sweet
Joey,
of you to want to share.
Yeah, Joey in the chat room said it's 144,000. That's the number of souls that can enter into heaven.
Wow.
That's
a small number.
Within the Protestant belief system, a lot of them have that. That's their number, especially the more fundamentalists.
Wow.
Oh, really?
I didn't know they had, I didn't know there was limited seating for the Protestants. I was not aware of this.
That's because they caused
that's okay.
Trouble.
We'll drive the other bus.
they have a really small section, you know, so they're limited because they cause too much trouble.
Yeah, there you go. You can't
that's
sit
hilarious.
With us.
They cause too much trouble. It's all that protesting. What can I say?
Even all of us.
So, Star, I
yes.
wanted to talk to you about something that happened online earlier this week.
Mm. Okay.
About the interesting ad you saw. Let's talk about the interesting ad. You know what I mean.
Oh, let's do.
So apparently
yes.
somebody put up a billboard. I'm assuming it's a jewelry store. I will
mm-hmm.
not name names. And the billboard says, sometimes it's good to throw rocks at girls. Now, I happen
no.
to love jewelry. So I was like, well, if you're going to throw rubies and emeralds, I'm good with that. But apparently the larger picture was And this is a lesson I learned from last week's guest about language and how important language is. And the idea of throwing, do not throw rocks at people. And what does that say about women? And the following multitude of conversations ensued. So,
yes.
Go ahead. Tell us your take on the situation and your knowledge of it.
Well, first of all, let me say that I think that language is super important, and a lot of times we say something and it means one thing to us. That's not how it's taken. And literally, this billboard, the only thing it has on it is the jewelry store's logo and name, and then it says sometimes it's okay to throw rocks at girls, and then it's surrounded by gems. You know, which my stance was, it's never okay to throw rocks at anyone.
Yes.
If you've ever been hit in the eye with a large cut gemstone, you would agree with me. But
oh yeah,
the whole idea of first of all, let's just be clear that women probably buy more jewelry than men to begin with.
Agreed.
So they're kind of missing their market a little bit there. And also, it gets into this territory that, you know, you can get away with anything if you're willing to pay for it, I think, you know. I mean, there's a whole subtext to the idea that our whole culture has this idea that you can just throw money at things and make them go away, which in some cases, you know, if you have a bunch of hungry people, yeah, you can pay to have a food truck come and feed them all, and that would be one instance of that actually working. But when it comes to how women are perceived, the rape culture that we live within, the misogyny that is in the language that we use every day, and we don't even, most of us are not even aware of it. And I think that this billboard really plays into that.
Yeah, it does.
You know, and
you're
plus,
right.
I am a fucking woman. I am not a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I am a woman. Do not call me a girl. I am well past that stage. So,
are we all, baby?
There are so many things wrong with that billboard. I mean, it's just, you know, and apparently they were just like, completely, they had no idea.
Oblivious.
I mean, it hadn't even occurred to them that this is problematic in any way, shape, or form, which tells you how embedded in our culture these things are. So, very much so. So I got a few of one of my friends who is actually a member of Mother Grove Goddess Temple, which is Asheville's goddess temple. One of our clergy members saw the billboard, was horrified, and sent them an email and got a really very dismissive kind of response. And Reverend Rotola put it was, you know, as if she had said, you know, I really don't like the color of that billboard. So it was a really, you know, kind of watery, oh, we're sorry we might have, you know, we're sorry that you don't like it. We never, you know, I mean, it was just watery and dismissive, which is why probably a lot of, and then if you looked at the blowback that came both on this jewelry store's Facebook page and the local news station, because they picked up on the fact that there were people upset about this. The response was really, people were like, oh, you delicate little snowflakes have no sense of humor. This is why we can't have nice things. All of the pat answers that you hear. But the problem is that these ideas are so embedded in our culture that, you know, what do little boys do when they like a girl? They throw rocks at her, and that's perfectly okay. Well, it's not okay.
Yeah. It's not.
It's not okay.
Having your bra snapped, having your hair pulled, it was not fun.
Yeah. No, it's not fun, and it's abusive. And if we allow our children to continue to be raised doing these things, guess what? They grow up to be men who think it's perfectly okay to invade your space, to put a hand on you, to speak to you, treat you like your property. And that's not okay. And it's the root of where these things come from that needs to be addressed. And it's clearly not being addressed. You can't even explain rape culture to most people. They just clearly do not get it. They do not get it at all.
And it surprises me because I have a 19-year-old. Raina's sons are a little bit older than mine, my oldest one. But I have heard some surprising things come out of his mouth as of late. And I'm still at the point trying to track down where he is getting his information. You know, because I don't know, there's like a whole under movement of being against political correctness or feminism. And, you know, from what I understand, they have latched on to the most extremist ideas under these, like, you know, and I don't want to even mention anything because I don't want to get yelled at, but, you know, and I know I will, but it's like he's latched on to some of these extremist things, and I've had to, like, talk him down, like, no, because there's proof here. You know, what are you talking about? Where did you get this information? You know, and it's almost like conspiracy theories, you know, have taken up a portion of the millennials, which I'm not bagging on millennials. I love you guys. You guys are awesome for the most part. But there's, you know, I'm wondering how my son, who, you know, this is an extremely liberal household, you know, to the point that we are pretty much socialists, and he's still coming up with these conspiracy ideas, you know?
Well, I think that's pretty prevalent. If people don't have, if they're not talking to someone who really can answer their questions well, then they get all manner of weird, you know, definitions of what things mean. I mean, for me, feminism is about equality for everyone. You know, it's not just about women's rights. It is equality for everyone. And but if you listen to what the right wing has to say, you know, I mean, we're horrible.
Yeah, I don't understand how more rights for people is horrible. I don't.
Well, if you feel threatened and let's face it, how did we even come to be in the place that we're in? You know, we came to somebody else's land, we took it, and we killed as many of them as we could, you know, which we were run out of, you know, I mean, many of the first people that came to this country were, you know, either indentured servants or slaves or criminals.
My great-grandmother was an indentured servant.
Most of us, I mean, many of us have roots in that direction. And so, you know, if you come, the genetic memory of where we come from, I think it's really strong. And, you know, I have been preaching really over and over again that terrified people make terrible choices. And I think that where we are in this country, you know, the reason that we see such extreme opinions, especially on the right, is because basically we are talking about people that are terrified. They're afraid that someone else is going to step up and take what they think should be theirs or is theirs, or that they have a right to. And if someone opposes what they believe, they demonize that person's viewpoint or that person themselves. You know, I mean, if you look at what happened with Hillary Clinton, I mean, she was clearly demonized, you know. But, I mean, they've been working on the Clintons for decades. So, and in a lot of ways, I don't think the Clintons have helped themselves much in the stance that they've taken on, you know, or being who they are. But so I think that, you know, it's entirely possible that, you know, I mean, you have no idea what your son is hearing at school or from his other friends, or, and so they come up with these weird I mean, and kids are so weird anyway, because, you know, they come up with these weird ideas for things. You know, it's like it never occurs to them a lot of times to just ask, because they'll watch and they'll see what's going on. And so then they make up their own mythology of how this is evolved to be.
Right.
And it is. I mean, it's hilarious. You know, you talk to a friend of mine who's a therapist said that one of the things that was consistent, and she worked with a lot of kids that were in counseling because their parents got divorced, and every single kid believes that, you know, that there was something that they did that caused the divorce.
Aww.
You know, so they internalize it. So they think, well, if only I had, you know, eaten my peas every night like I was supposed to, then mommy and daddy wouldn't have gotten divorced. Which, you know, ladies, is why, you know, anybody that gets divorced and has children should always seek therapy for their children. But yeah, so they come up with crazy ideas.
There's also that level, you know, when you're of a certain age, of trying to figure out who you are and what your place is in amongst all of this mess. And I remember, you know, I came from a very abusive household, and I remember when I finally moved out, and the first morning I woke up in a new place without any parents around, and I thought, oh, wow, I have to now develop my own personality as opposed to the one that was instilled in me. And I'm not saying my nephew comes from an abusive household. That's not what I mean. But at some point, everybody that I've ever known has gone through at some point a period of, okay, what do I believe and who am I?
Yeah.
And there are different motivations. Finding yourself. And there are different motivations and different influences. And, you know, sometimes they peek through for a little while, and then, you know, you develop more of your own thoughts, and it's like, oh, well, I don't really believe that anymore. Let me try this, you know. And I think it's just a period of growth. I mean, unless it persists, you know, for like a couple of years, then I would probably be a little more concerned. But, you know, if it's a recent happening, I just keep an eye on it for a while and you know, try to make sure he doesn't get too wayward with it.
Yeah. There's been a couple times I've just looked at him like, who the fuck are you and where did you come from?
And how did you get in my house?
Exactly. It's like, whoa,
how did you get in here?
Look for the pods.
There were two things recently he brought up. One was like, I don't know, it was like a year and a half, something. It was a while ago, but he started bringing up the Holocaust. I was like, no. I said, whatever you're about to say, don't even fucking go there with me. I will happily discuss stuff with you, but if you even try to say the Holocaust didn't happen, I will smack you upside the head. I don't care how much taller you are than me. Don't even. Yeah. And he dropped it. And then yesterday,
wow.
We were having a discussion, and I know I've mentioned on the show before here that, you know, I had someone I knew killed in the San Bernardino shootout, you know, that was like 2 years ago. And he was like trying with this conspiracy theory of the reporters who got shot live on air, that was fake. And I was like, no, because here's their autopsy reports. You know, and then he tried to say about San Bernardino, and I was like, nope, I shut him down. I was like, you know, I don't know how to compete with that. You know, it seems like the clickbait, the conspiracy theories are everywhere. They're permeant. They're, you know, permeating everything.
Don't you think a good way to combat that, though, is to ask, okay, so why do you believe this? Show me why you believe this.
Yeah. And I've done that with him, but there are certain things that, no, I won't touch because it's just, it triggers me, like, to an extent where I get mad and I have to walk away. You know? I don't know. Do you have any suggestions? Yeah. How do we combat that?
Well, I do have a suggestion about that. And
okay.
what I would say to you is, back in your memory to some of the things that you and I have argued about where we were both stuck in our positions.
Yeah.
And
okay.
And then try to relate what he's feeling to maybe what you were feeling or what I was feeling when we were stuck in our positions. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, I do.
So I would try to understand, you know, what, why maybe he's saying this. You know, did he hear something? Did somebody send him something that is obviously false? Show him stuff that's obviously true. Combat it that way. It doesn't mean he'll necessarily agree with you right away, but as time goes on and you disprove the things that he's showing you that support what he's trying to say, you know, you'll be better armed to say, no, this is why this is false. You know, this isn't real.
Yeah.
Research, this isn't real journalism, this isn't real fill in the blank, the blank, the blank. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, and
I'd go at it from that way, just as a, you know, as a challenge to him, you know, instead of believing some bullshit that you've heard, here, I've got real proof written by real folks, as opposed to these people that he's, you know, getting this information from that's really full of shit and really conspiracy theorist type crap. And I've got a lot of friends who believe in conspiracy theories, and I don't get conspiracy theories as far as, you know, 9/11 was an inside job. Shit like that makes me kind of nuts. You know, but I mean, but that's me. And you're not going to always change everybody or change their mind. But he's young enough, I think, and impressionable enough still at this point, that if you can show him why it's so important to do actual research, as opposed to letting some opinion piece be the real force behind what he's saying is true, I think it lends credibility to, and not just the idea of critical thinking, but again, intellectual curiosity, you know, to find out the real information as opposed to just believing what you've been told. And I would say to him, listen, letting somebody else do your thinking for you is a really fucking lazy way to go, and I know you're smarter than that, you know, because he is smarter than that.
He is.
Well, and he is.
Critical thinking, you know, the tools for critical thinking, and I don't think they teach that anymore.
No.
No, they don't.
No, they barely teach home ec anymore. which is bizarre to me.
That is,
I don't know,
bizarre.
I think, well, the whole, see, I don't remember critical thinking ever truly being taught, except in math and science. You know,
yeah.
X plus Y equals, you know, figure this out. There's not a lot of that anymore. You know, we didn't have calculators in my day to just bring into school with you. It was not commonplace like it is now, where you have instant assistance for every fucking thing. And,
well,
you know, but the idea of critical thinking, that ended, as far as I can tell, a really long time ago.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, that's why it gives rise to all of these, that's why, you know, these conspiracy theories and other things of that nature have an easier time taking hold, because people are basically taught, whether it's through the church or whatever's easy, or, you know, well, so-and-so said it and I like them, so it must be true. You know, no one does their own research anymore. People don't have that curiosity to go and find out the truth for themselves. They just don't.
Yeah,
and
it's a specific areas.
It's a real failing on us as a society, not even just recently, I think in general. You know, I do remember home ec, and, you know, the ability to teach somebody how to feed themselves, and not just grab something out of convenience from the freezer, you know, that's a lost art. A lot of people do not know how to cook something from scratch, which is frightening.
Well, but I also think that there is kind of a renaissance that is coming back, with the whole, you know, like the urban farming and, there's been a real trending towards, you know, making your own stuff, being able to, you know, to make preserves, being able to can your own food. So there's kind of, I mean, I think that is making a comeback. And honestly, I think that, you know, when you look at what, you know, people in the 70s, it was all about gas and oil and, you know, worried about the oil crisis. But
I remember it.
Yeah, but, you know, that is pretty much incidental when you line it up against not being able to have to grow enough food to feed your country, clean water. I mean, those things are. But science is where critical thinking really comes into play, and I mean, anybody that's an academic knows the value of critical thinking, because you can't write a paper or research anything without the ability to examine the information that you collect and decide what's relevant and what's not. You know, and I think that there's this real trend towards demonizing anybody that is of an academic bent, that they're elitist and horrible and they're ruining our country. Well, you know, I got news for you. All of the advances that we've made, you know, I mean, our interstate highway system would not have been built without engineers. And you want to talk about critical thinking.
Yeah.
There's definitely a place where it applies. You know, we would be lost without the, you know, Army Corps of Engineers. Engineering, I mean, you can build a building without engineers and architects, and all of that requires some pretty high level ability to critical think and understand concepts and how it all comes together. I mean, it requires an army of people. So I think that the more we are different, really, when it comes right down to it, the more we are the same, because the one thing that everybody needs is clean water and real food. And, you know, last time I checked, almost everybody I've ever encountered, you know, if you cut them, they're going to bleed the same color. So, I mean, we really do have more, we are more the same than all of these different factions would like to think. You know, ideology only goes so far, because when it comes right down to it, we all need the same things to not just to survive, but to thrive. And
yeah,
where we go in the future is really going to be determined by our ability to find that common ground. The polarization that we're seeing within society is really alarming. You know, and to get back to part of why I'm on the show tonight, you know, this is part of the reason why we decided to do Mystic South. You know, all of the controversy over, I mean, the South is often looked at as a flyover zone, that we're all a bunch of ignorant rednecks, and, you know, I mean, we only quit living in mud huts last week. You know, although we do all get the internet, though.
Awesome.
Well, most of us, anyway. The idea, especially I think within the pagan community, that you know, it's like this vast the South is like this vast wasteland, and there are no pagans here. Well, there is. You can't hardly swing a cat with, and I try not to swing cats, it pisses them off. But without hitting a magical practitioner of some variety.
Agreed.
I think, you know, and that's a huge misconception, and which is one of the reasons we decided to, we needed a Southern Conference. There's festivals, you know, all over the place, but we don't have a conference that that really has an academic track. There is nothing like that in the South anywhere. And that's
true.
That was the motivation behind doing Mystic South.
Which is brilliant, because a lot of us just can't afford to go to San Jose every year for, you know, Pantheacon.
Well, and any conference is going to be more expensive than going to a festival. I mean, let's face it, because you're going to pay to stay in a hotel, and you got to get to wherever it is. And I mean, and if you have to fly there, that is, you know, that is more expensive. But yeah, it's expensive to go to Pantheacon. You know? I mean,
oh yeah.
Even if you're, you know, there are several of you and you're sharing a room. You know, which at least the admission to the event is not terrible, but by the time you add up rooms and meals and flights, it's a good chunk of change.
Oh yeah, so, I've done Pantheacon. It is not cheap at all.
Well, and
it's
in California,
nice.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
The only thing that would probably be more expensive would be like New York City or London.
Sure. Absolutely. But it's nice that, you know, we're finally going to have something that's down here, so that a lot of us don't have to travel, you know, us on the east side of it, as it were. You know, it's nice to know that we're going to have a thing locally, relatively speaking, and that we don't all have to fly across the country to get to a gathering. So I'm really, really excited about it. I think it's brilliant. I'm so glad you came up with it.
Well, Heather Green and I had been talking about it, and Heather had been talking to some other people, and we're like, you know, I'm like, we can do this. We can do this. I think it's doable. And the hotel is in a great location, because it's on the perimeter, and it's north of Atlanta. You know, it's on the north end of Atlanta, so that means it's easy to get to, especially for anybody that's coming in from the north or the east. It means you don't have to go through Atlanta. Now, anybody that's coming up from the south or from the west. If they're coming up from the south, I mean, they can take the loop around, but so it's a little bit easier, and there's tons of stuff around the hotel. There, you know, it's a great location, and the hotel is very pagan friendly. So that is definitely one of its finer points.
Which is amazing that you actually managed to find. I mean, did you already know that they were a pagan friendly hotel?
Well, Mary Meat was there a couple of years ago, and they had no problems with Mary Meat being there. And Heather Green actually functioned as the point person on that, and so she already knew some people at the hotel. And she and I went and talked to them and said, you know, this is what we're thinking about doing. You know, talk to us. Tell us what can you do for us? And they had absolutely no problem with it. They're actually kind of excited about it, actually.
That's great. I'm excited about it. I can't wait. It's going to be a blast.
Well, in the coming weeks, we'll be posting. We've been already highlighting various vendors and presenters for the event. Usually, you know, every day we're trying to highlight either a vendor, I think maybe a vendor and a presenter. John Beckett, who's everyone's favorite sanest druid, is going to be presenting.
Yeah.
We're pretty excited about that. We've got just a terrific lineup of people that are going to be presenting, and on just about every topic that you can imagine.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be really good.
I agree.
I wish I was going. I do.
Next year.
Yeah.
Next year. It'll be fun. So just so everybody knows, Star is going to be back on a couple of times before Mystic South.
Yay.
So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be fun.
I'll try to cause as much trouble as I can. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yay!
I'm saying that loud voice.
We like that. We like trouble. Because we are trouble.
Who are you talking about? I'm not trouble.
I'm at least talking about myself.
I was going to say, although I've been called a walking bowl of trouble.
Surely not.
Oh,
surely
certainly
not.
Yes. I am a world of trouble in one person.
Only if you piss her off.
Nah, it's not that easy to do. All right, maybe it is. Fuck it.
Well, for some people, it's easy. Yeah, but yeah, I try not to piss this off. But it has been amazing to have you, and we can't wait to have you back, which is going to be, I think, next month, or is it the month after? I'm looking.
Next month.
Is it next month?
It's next month.
Yes.
The star has her dates already.
It's on the 28th. So,
yep.
So we will see you in almost exactly a month. Yay!
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's been fun to just grumble about things and have intelligent conversation, and you both are such gracious hosts.
Aww, well,
thank you. You're so sweet.
We think you're pretty neat too. My favorite person, and she knows why she's one of my favorite people. But Miss Star and I have our own deal.
Awesome.
But I'm so glad you came on, and I'm really excited about Mystic South. And it, folks, as we get more details, we're going to talk about it on future shows. and we hope you'll all consider going. And we're going to post, if we haven't already, post the link to Mystic South. It's going to be fantastic. I encourage everybody to book your rooms. They are filling up. They're going like hotcakes. Get on board with this. It's going to be a happening. I'm so psyched. Star, thank you so much for being on. And we're going to see you in a few weeks, okay?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks. You guys have a great night.
You too, doll.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wrap me up, sis.
All right. So y'all have a good weekend. We will be back next week. Actually, let me double check that too. I just had it open. I closed it.
We will be back next week with the incomparable Byron Ballard. I can't wait. She's a hoot and a holler. I cannot wait.
Oh my God. She is definitely a pistol. We love her. So we'll see y'all back here next week. Have a safe weekend. Hopefully your weeks go well and easy and comfortable.
Yay.
We love you guys. Bright blessings.
Night, everybody.
Bye.